Between the kids being home and hosting, everything in our house gets used up in summer. With Instacart, I can save money by stocking up on all my favorite summer brands. I save time by getting everything delivered in as fast as an hour. And I save myself a sink full of dirty dishes by stocking up on paper plates for the annual summer cookout. Save more on summer essentials. Spend more time enjoying summer. Add summer to cart. Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Five Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko. That dashing and debonair gentleman above me is none other than our founder and fearless leader, John Dam Johnston. Hello, John.
How you doing?
Hey, we are on the air, so to speak. We're on the internet. We had no problems at the beginning of this week's show. So far, so good, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
There's so many shiny buttons and everything going on here.
Sorry.
On the screen.
Well, let's talk about
your head. Let's talk about your head. What the fuck happened to your head, Greg? What's going on with your head?
It's not warming up yet, but I'm going to a warm weather climate this weekend for vacation for a week, and It got to the point where, you know, I'm very low maintenance. So I just took my clippers, did it myself, did not my first rodeo, buzz it all around. I feel lighter.
Yeah.
But I could tell I am not to the warm weather climate yet because it's still been cold here and it's like I lost my top coat.
Where are you going?
All right, he's upstairs. Florida to Walt Disney World.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think we talked about this before, haven't we?
Did we? I don't know. You, Mike goes to Walt Disney. We people go to Walt Disney World.
Sorry. It's how do I try and phrase this delicately? It's a business trip.
Is it? Okay. All right. I can understand that.
I'll tell you about it off air.
My business would have never sent me to someplace nice like that. They'd be going, how about the middle of Wisconsin out in a cabin in the North Woods? And that'd I'd be going, right. Yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Well, we want to say hello to Terrible Just Terrible, who only said hello to you. And... that's okay. I'm here too, but that's all right. And then Mark, with a note here, this is Labriola, Mikey Labriola wins, and Aaron Rostovsky, Coronation's own Aaron Rostovsky, says great third period by Labriola. So we're hopeful. Fingers crossed. We know nothing, but if there's a chance, hi Fred, that Todd Wolverton, one of our two wrestling experts at Coronation, can join us. And the co-host of Monday Night Therapy with John and Todd, we have extended the invitation to Todd to hopefully join us tonight to talk a little bit about the national NCAA wrestling tournament. And hello, Terrible Just Terrible. No need to apologize. I get over it. Why would you focus on me when you have that lion... That you know, that king of the jungle right there. Clearly, he's got the mane. You know,
you can be kidding. You know, sometimes I feel like creeped out by you, Greg.
Why?
Because you're starting. I'm thinking of looking at you, and it's just Taxi Driver all over the place. You talking to me?
I could have been a contender. No, that's Raging Bull.
You know what? Wait, let's do this one.
Okay.
Stephen Dunning says, I just got done watching the show with Coach Osborne. Man, how old is he? I believe he's 87.
Do you want me to fact check that?
Sure. But I there was 86. A YouTube 86. Okay. Well, shoot. I mean, he's getting up there. We're, you know, he's time is coming. But
do you remember his first year as head coach? I mean, not like, do you remember, like, you know, tell me about your personal experience watching, but do you remember the year?
Well, I mean, was it 1970, 71? 72? No.
According to Wikipedia, yeah. 73 to 97.
That doesn't sound right.
Sorry?
Also, Wikipedia lies.
So, you know, he was with Hastings College, of course, you know. Yep. And it says that he was affiliated with the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
Not so fast. And then the 49ers. Now, he was never with the Commanders. I want that stricken from the record. That is blasphemous. That's slander and libel.
You mean the Redskins, as they called them now, the Commanders?
Yeah. Pretty much. All right, what do we got?
Wait a minute. Stay with that one for a minute.
Okay, let me find it.
Stephen Dunning, I want you to... Earlier today, there was a YouTube live, or not really a live, but it's a premiere. When you do this, you basically put out a YouTube video kind of live so people can comment on it as they're watching it. And it was with Matt Rhule, Tom Osborne, and Trev Alberts. I watched a few minutes of it. I didn't really, you know, I live with this stuff, so I could almost tell you what they're going to say. It didn't really look, honestly, that interesting to me, but there's a lot going on when you're managing, you know, looking at 22 Nebraska sports. I don't mean that as an insult to them. Stephen, I would like to know what you got out of it, if you got anything out of it, or why you watched it, why you were interested in it. I realize it's content in the time of the year that people want content. But Stephen Dunning comes back and says he doesn't look like he's doing too well. Well,
86-year-old.
He is 86, and he is he had heart issues in the early 80s. So for a guy that's gone through, I think, what he's gone through, 86. I'm hoping to make it to 66, and that's like 6 years away. So, wow.
I'm gonna let you read this one, John.
Yes. Colin Grimes says, John, the Cockeyes lost. Oh, no, they did. Iowa lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament to Auburn. I wept. Tears of joy.
And it just goes to show that... I'm going to put this diplomatically. It's my word here. If you got swept by Nebraska, you probably shouldn't have been dancing in the first place.
That's true. You know, Iowa was getting smoked for a little bit. I think they were down by 17. They came back and made a game of it late, and then they fell apart toward the end and couldn't hit a shot. And it was sad, and everybody wept. Tears of joy.
We got a couple of couple more comments, reaction feedback from that premiere YouTube video with Trev Alberts, Matt Rhule, and Tom Osborne. Casey Halstead says, wasn't anything new, just a nice back and forth. And Fred got out of it that Matt Rhule got out of it that Matt rules, and anyone who doubts it is a no good Colorado Buffalo. We appreciate you. It must be early for Fred, because usually he's not so diplomatic, dare I say.
Well, Steven comes back there.
Yeah, I got it. He says, who wouldn't want to sit and listen to what Osborne, Alberts, and Rhule have to say? And, you know, I agree, and I'll follow that up with friends of ours. They were, you know, while they could do it, and while, you know, we compensated them appropriately. But the Big Red Cobcast, you know, they have some really good conversations in their archive, and I encourage you to check it out. And I've probably talked about this before. You know, yeah, you can go back and listen to all their hilarity and all their post game, you know, conversations in the week. But the offseason stuff where they're talking with like Charlie McBride, and Grant Wisterman, there's some really good content, and they're just again top-notch stuff from guys that we miss. And And we wish Pat well, but I don't think, at least in the near foreseeable future, he's not coming back to the podcast realm. We got to track down Tweety and see what he's doing, though. I bet you he's pretty jazzed for.
You know what year. I saw a poll they posted on Twitter asking if they should come back or not.
I bet you it was overwhelmingly supportive.
I think the third choice was Kick Joe, so that took a lot of them. if you ever listened to their podcast.
All right, so as I mentioned, Fred, perhaps a bit more diplomatic so far, but he says he just waits for the double entendre opportunities, and he follows up with comments about John's favorite head coach. That's right. Fred is perfect for, you know, when somebody says innuendo in your endo. I feel like that's a Fredism right there. And then Casey comes back with at least the Husker women's basketball won their first WNIT game, first postseason win in Lincoln since 2006.
That was good. I was going to bring this up Monday night. Amy Williams, should she stay as coach in Nebraska? I mean, her teams, she seems to have good players, but her teams are like, you know, they're like insanity. I mean, they lose to Minnesota, who was a horrible team, and then they shellacked ranked Illinois for, right, you know, by 40 points. It just drives me nuts. I mean, I don't think she's going to get fired. I don't think she's even on a hot seat. But
no.
I just wonder.
She's been the coach since 2016, and her record in that time is 109-95. And that's probably doesn't take it to today's game, the most recent, so maybe 110-95 or so. It's tough to say. Huskers.com calls her a program builder, but I remember the Connie Yore years, and didn't seem like there needed to be a whole lot of building. There might have been a little, you know, maybe salvaging, perhaps, because there, in Connie Yore's last year, there were some tumultuous times, right? But, like, look, it's women's basketball at Nebraska. It should be a, I don't know, maybe I'm giving too much credit. This is where Jill would really shine. Yeah. By the way, she apologized for not being able to join us last week. She ended up having a meeting that lasted till well after
she had began. Too many margaritas.
That might be too. Women's basketball in Nebraska should sell itself. You know, it's been proven to be one of the better programs in the country. To be right just over 500 after now 6 years, I don't know. I'm not going to say that she's on the hot seat, but I think there needs to be marked improvement in the 2023-24 season.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I mean, I'd like to see us beat the shit out of everybody in every sport we play, especially like Minnesota. Losing to Minnesota in women's basketball really bugged the hell out of me. That's why I brought it up. I'm angry. Again. Yeah.
John, when
maybe
aren't
that's
you
just
angry?
A constant. Well, every once in a while, I'm not angry. Let's see here. You know, last week, baseball knocked the crap out of Illinois State. That was kind of fun.
It was. And then they turned around and lost to University of Nebraska Omaha.
That's just, they got to figure out midweek pitching. I figure out the bullpen and figure out, you know, how they're going to. Develop guys that are pitching.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to this one. By the way, you said that Jill had too many margaritas. Josh said that, was she in Arizona?
She might have been.
All right. We're gonna go there because, John, you're famous.
I'm famous.
Internet famous. For a few reasons. There's the post-game Minnesota comments, but then you also said that nobody cares about Nebraska ball. And that brings us to Matt Hansen's question is, why is the narrative out there that Nebraska doesn't care about basketball? They built Pinnacle Bank Arena, got Hoiberg. Matt, the reason that narrative exists is because of the man above me. And
yeah,
I'm not talking about...
Wait a minute. It does not.
No, but... And John, I think, you know, you get a little hyperbolic from time to time. And on Twitter during the season, you said, you know, in your, that's the thing, Twitter does not convey sarcasm. If you would have put it out in video form, then, you know, the way you say things, well, that's because Nebraska doesn't care about basketball, you know, in that embellished tone, then I think it'd be, but who's still, is that the Husky guys, or is it one of those Nebraska Twitter accounts about, you know, but Nebraska doesn't care about basketball. I think that Nebraska does. Look at PBA. PBA does very well for men's basketball. They, you know, and it helps when the team is winning. You know, it helps when there's a Teran Petaway or a Casey Tominaga or a Bryce McGowan. When there are players, a Derek Walker, yeah, obviously. When there are players that, you know, can excite the fan base, you know, talk about some of the more exciting, you know, times in men's Nebraska history recently. You know, I mentioned Petaway, you know, Walter Pitchford was in that group. Then you have Bryce. It's just the nothing ever seems to, you know, fully come together for Nebraska basketball.
Okay. First of all, I actually wasn't being sarcastic when I said that.
Oh.
I replied to, I think it's, who are those guys? Go Big Redcast?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I replied, it was, here's the thing, on Twitter sometimes I just go on Twitter and I throw hand grenades all over the place and I leave. that's how I do Twitter a lot. But I think that, for me, when I look at Nebraska basketball, I mean, we've not had a good team for a very long time. I guess, well, Stephen Dunning says it right there in his comment. It's because basketball sucks. I don't know if he's talking about the sport. I would love for men, Nebraska had a good men's basketball team. But I think that you can tell that Nebraska doesn't pay much attention to basketball by the number of podcasts that are about football that don't touch basketball at all.
Yeah.
I, from looking at my page counts when we put up articles, is really what I look at. I look at and I go, oh, look at all the hits that anything. You could say Matt Rhule blew his nose for and ate it for breakfast, and people, well, everybody'd watch that headline. You could say Matt Rhule loves rotini pasta and do an article on it, and people would read it. And you could say Nebraska picked up the greatest recruit ever in basketball, and almost nobody's reading that, you know?
Yeah, so you're going by metrics, by measurables.
Yeah, yeah, I just, that's how I tell.
So if you're listening to this and not watching, first of all, shame on you. Secondly, Fred says that John is the ill-timed onside kick of Twitter.
Well, that's what had me giggling. I got a lot of crap for that tweet, but that's amazing. But that's nothing shocking, is it? I mean, I get a lot of crap for a lot of tweets. And quite frankly, it's Twitter. I mean, Twitter, I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter because it drags me into rabbit holes and it sucks the energy out of me.
Terrible, just terrible says, I couldn't call Nebraska a basketball school by any stretch of the imagination. I don't disagree. Like, look, it's not, we're no Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Indiana. I'm trying to think of other quote unquote basketball schools.
Purdue.
Look, I know, like, my visual reaction there, but they haven't won it, right? I mean, I wouldn't call them a basketball school. I think of like UCLA. Fault me for it, you know, but Nebraska is still considered, in my mind, a blue blood football school. I consider UCLA a blue blood basketball school, and they haven't won it in, you know, how many decades, you know. But there are, I don't consider Purdue a blue blood basketball school. You know, yeah, bone led, corn fed. By the way, great name. Says Duke, and I meant, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, Gonzaga. You know, but that's not fair because Gonzaga doesn't have football. You know, so there are a few out there that's really their specialty. You know, but sure, I wouldn't call Nebraska basketball school. What is going on? Oh, you go. Okay, here we go. Fred says Purdue is a boring school, blue blood in boring. Well done. Also, kind of engineering, but Yeah, I like yours better, Fred.
I do think somebody said in the comments that I think if Nebraska can do well in basketball, the fan base would go insane. I mean, yeah. We had that short run there in February where Nebraska was playing really well. Keisei Tominaga turned into Superman, and it was really fun to watch. And then they lost to Minnesota. And, you know, in my life, if you lose to Minnesota in a sport, I disown you for a bit. And the NIT disowned him. And that really was disappointing because, you know, Derek Walker was fun to watch. Sam Griesel was fun to watch. The team was playing well, and it was really fun. It was fun to have something where not everything was about football, because when you have to cover this stuff, it gets a little bit too much to go through the fluffy stuff, because that's kind of mostly what the off season is. And Nebraska does it well. I mean, Nebraska, I think, has the best like video department, the best you know, putting stuff together for using on social media, doing short films and clips, and they do that as well as anybody, or better than anybody in the nation. But it's again, if you've gone through it for year, it gets to be a little bit much.
Why is this so damn difficult, John?
What's so difficult?
I'm just trying to save a simple picture so I can use a graphic. All right. I'm going to throw up a few graphics up there.
Okay. You have graphics.
I have graphics. Give me. Find there is a okay, it's still visible on the screen. Josh with the comment of Purdue is the Let's Win the Creepy Mascot Contest school. Can you throw that comment up there, John?
Whoop, that's not it.
Way to go, John. You had one job. You literally had one job.
I have one job. Where the hell is it?
I don't know.
Okay, there it is.
All right, you got it? Okay, so that's what Josh Hansen says. Purdue is a Let's Win the Creepy Mascot Contest school. I'm going to throw up Purdue Pete. All right, not doing anybody any favors. And then we all know that I'm a fan of this team. Not a fan of this mascot, and I'm not talking about Lil Red, but this is a real mascot in the NFL. Are you familiar with Steely McBeam?
Not really. No, God, why would you? Oh, that's kind of terrifying.
Now, Purdue Pete, Steely McBeam.
Well, you know, they both have an industrial thing going on about them.
Only
they both
one
have this same colors kind of scheme going on. Implications of steel.
All right. Last question.
Yeah.
Only one of them tucks you in at night, John. Who do you pick?
Purdue Pete.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not trusting no NFL person for anything. I don't trust. The NFL is like the mafia. You know, if you say too many things about them, they're going to kill you. And it doesn't matter who the hell you are. You're going away. That's what happens with the NFL. They're just like, nope, not useful anymore. Banished, exiled. Please jump in this hole in the ground and get buried.
I really thought you were going to say Purdue Pete, because I'm not letting anybody named Steely McBeam anywhere near my bedroom.
But it's a little dicey there too.
Watch your mouth, Joshua.
I know that right now, if you're a Nebraska basketball fan, we lose Derek Walker, we lose Sam Griesel. Those are two big losses. Everybody's looking at whether Tominaga is going to come back. And then you're looking at the fact that we need a big man because Oleg Kolyanets now has transferred. And one of the other younger guys, Denham Dawson, has entered the transfer portal. So we need a big guy, and we need really a point guard. And those two things are really key for Fred to bring in some players that can be successful next season. You know, Minnesota, because I pay attention to them because they're in my household, they lost the really highly ranked recruit that was a 7-footer, big guy. And then they lost Battle, who was one of their top scorers, to the portal, and a young freshman that was a really up-and-coming guy for them. So, you know, the transfer portal or the transfers in basketball affect everybody, not just Nebraska. I think the average is like 3 players a year from every team out there. So that's the concern, you know, with Nebraska basketball ongoing into the future.
There was a Bone-Led Corn-Fed says, could we choose basketball over football if the basketball team was better?
We can do whatever we want. We are all grown adults.
There you go.
I mean, as long as you're not committing felonies and people know about it.
I don't even know what you're talking about there, John. You know, it's a question I ask a lot to my clients is if they've ever been convicted of or pled guilty to a felony or misdemeanor or have any charges pending.
You ask that question?
I do.
Oh. Okay.
To date, knock on wood. Well, you and I have very different clients, John.
Yeah.
But to date, I nobody's ever said yes. So.
That's good. You know, I probably can't say that for mine.
the mascot talk is still going. And Stephen Dunning says Herbie Husker kind of looks like a coked up farmer.
Not enough.
You think? Okay, you know, so when the new old Herbie debuts this fall, are you looking forward to that, or do you not care?
Here's what I would like. Goldie Gopher is the best mascot in the United States. Not even close to anything else. And the reason why is because he's fun. He does stuff on the football field. He gets the students involved in cheering, and they notice him, and they watch what he's doing. Can you say, I don't give a shit if it's Herbie, Harry, Harold, who the fuck our mascot is. Until our mascots actually get the crowd involved in the game, doing stuff, then I could care less. Why don't they have a girl mascot? Because we have great women in Nebraska who kick ass in volleyball. Why don't they have a women mascot that just beats the shit out of all the guy mascots? Because that would fit Nebraska better than anything right now. Huh? Huh?
Okay.
Katie Husker. Bam!
No. Let's dive down a little further. What would a female mascot representing Nebraska look like, John?
Michaela Fecky.
Okay, you took that wholesome. I thought you were going to go like Daisy Duke Method.
Well, okay, Daisy Duke. She'd look like Michaela Fecky.
Okay.
Except she'd be like 8 feet tall and have like, I don't know, some kind of giant thing she just beat the shit out of people with. Not a trident, maybe a pitchfork. But that, you know, the problem with a pitchfork is, you know, you don't really pitch corn with it. I, you ever tried that? No,
no,
it doesn't work. You have a grain shovel, right? You're pitching the corn. Maybe she has a grain shovel because that'd be a damn big shovel to carry around. And you know, she could club sheet people to shit. Just beat the shit out of them.
Okay, Giant 25 pictures China from the old WWF. May she rest in peace. Can I ask you a question, John?
You can. You always do. What do you want?
When you moved to the state of Minnesota, were you somewhat envious that there was no Minnesota State University?
No. What? I'm confused.
Minnesota State University.
Yeah.
The Screaming Eagles.
Oh, now I am confused. There is a Minnesota State University.
Now I'm not talking about the one up there in Mankato.
They changed the name of that. Do you know that? It was Mankato State for years, and they changed it to Minnesota State. Do you know why they did that?
Because they're trying to piggyback off of the success of the ABC sitcom Coach.
No, because they wanted to get rid of the image that Mankato State had because there's too many students drinking themselves to death there. I worked for Mankato State as a consultant. My God, I told my kids when they were growing up, there is no way in hell you are ever going to Mankato for college unless you want to not be my child anymore. And then my wife said, could you stop saying that to the kids? They're only 7.
Minnesota State University Screaming Eagles, the fictional school from the TV show Coach, starring Craig T. Nelson, which, of course, brings conversation about, you know, Coach Dauber, etc. So, you know, what can I say? I'm old, not quite as old as John, but I remember a lot of these 80s and early 90s references. So, John, it's great to be here with you. Thank you so much for taking time. I got to find it here. There was a comment here about being glad you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here Monday we go. Night. So Owen Walker says, love the old Herbie. Good evening, gentlemen. So glad you're okay, John. Monday Night Therapy this past week did not happen. Yeah. And John and I had talked because, we're going to spill the tea, but it is our plan that there aren't going to be any shows next week.
There aren't?
Isn't that what you said?
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm going to be on. Okay, what?
The dog's bugging me at the same time.
I'm sorry. The dog's bugging you. I'm bugging you.
Are we not? We're not doing the this show. I was going to do Monday night just as a YouTube thing.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you can still do this
have,
show.
Unless I have another Monday like I had last Monday. What happened was I take some medicine for my brain injury, and my medicine ran out. And it didn't come, and I had a hard time getting it. And in the
Don't start, Fred.
In the meantime, I developed basically a migraine. What is comparable to a migraine? And I laid on the couch all day long and into the night, and some of the next day, actually. And the thing about this is, you know, all my life when somebody'd say, "Oh, I got a migraine," I'd look at them and I'd go, "Oh, that sounds terrible." But in the back of my head, I'd be going, "Oh, you got a bad headache. What are you, baby?" And then, you know, now with the brain injury, I have to deal with this crap. And right. I can tell you that it just overwhelms your whole entire body and you don't get to do anything at all.
Well, needless to say, it's Monday night and I'm anticipating, you know, like seeing a link arise on Facebook or seeing a, you know, the preview something on YouTube as it happens. And it gets to be 8 o'clock, and I send John a message. I said, "Hey, buddy, no show tonight?" He says, "No." I said, "Okay, I'm sorry." Like you can hit the two simple letters, but the tone was very well conveyed. It was like, "No, and by the way, don't mess with me. Leave me alone." I said, "Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry." And I said, "You know, I'm out of town next week and not this week because we talked that when I'm out of town." There weren't going to be any shows. It was just going to be easier that way. But clearly John says he's going to do Monday Night Therapy, and then there will be no Five Heart next week because I'm family vacationing. You're not taking my laptop. So we have – let's see what Fred says about no shows. No shows next week, Fred says. I'm going to stand outside John's window in a trench coat in the rain with the boombox blaring Hail Varsity.
My neighbors would just go, "Oh, look, it's a little early for that."
John, do you want me to drop your address into the comments?
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh.
Because I don't trust our viewers. How about this one? Can I put one up?
If you must.
Stephen Dunning says, "Why don't we have corn on the cob at that stadium?"
A little too on the nose?
You know, I'll be honest with you. The last time I was at Memorial was last spring game, and I hope to go to this year's spring game. But I never go to the concessions, and I think all the concessions is like Runza and Valentino's. It's just, you know, it's stuff you get at fast food. And I think that's a very salient question. I mean, I think it's very – why don't they have, like, traditional – I mean, Nebraska sweet corn has got to be the best sweet corn on the planet. Not even close. And if you know, the ways you can grill it and the ways you can prepare it are absolutely fabulous. And why don't we have corn on the cob at that stadium? I don't know. Somebody needs to change that. The hell's wrong with these people? Maybe they don't want corn cobs flying all over the place. Although, I mean, that could be fun. The jokes, if nothing else.
So Bone-Led Corn-Fed says they need to make a corn beer and sell it at games. Now, I did a very quick and unprofessional search for corn beer. And while this both fits, this would also sell very well in the great state of Nebraska. I'm going to share this image with you now. And John, I'm asking you to not react. This is just for the people watching at home.
Okay.
That would have been more funny if you were reacting. For the farmers, Bush Light. And
they make corn whiskey.
Let me see if I remember the song. Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky.
I mean, you literally could do this. You can take a bucket and fill it with water. Throw some corn cobs in it. You know, after you've gotten the corn off them, just the corn cobs.
Settle down
and
there.
Put some yeast and sugar in there and cover it with a lid for like a week and let it sit out in the sun. See what that does to you. La-da-da-da.
So this is the weirdest thing because I'm like Googling corn beer now, right? And the most that I see is Busch Light. What's this? Corn of Action. Hold on. I'm doing some digging here. We're going into the weeds. Straight out of Corn of Action, it is 4.2% ABV. Corn of Action, a badass light corn lager that is dangerously crushable. $10 per four-pack. Try Corn of Action. This is from Turning Point Beer. Interesting. It's from Texas. Oh, they don't have any good corn in Texas. That's crap. Get off my screen.
That's it's evident that they don't know what to do with it. Why would you make beer out of corn when you can make whiskey?
I don't know. I'm going to lose points for this, and I apologize. I'm strictly a beer man. I stay away from booze.
Hey.
We'll get there. Calm down, Matt. We've got a whole thing planned. I've got a couple of pinned messages here I want to share with you. Actually, they're oddly enough both from Matt. Back to college basketball. Matt Hansen says all these small universities getting wins in the basketball tournament, and then there's Nebraska ball. Oy vey.
Yeah, that's why I think that I saw some people after we lost in Minnesota talking about firing Fred Hoiberg, and I thought, what's the point of this? I mean, whoever we bring in is probably going to take 3-4 years to figure out what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I don't know.
let's look at what happened when Tim Miles was removed from office, so to speak. Is Fred came in and he retained exactly two players.
Right.
He did a complete roster turnover. You have to anticipate that in the landscape of college basketball, whoever would be the not heir apparent, but whoever would be the replacement from Fred Hoiberg would do the same. Now, I think Fred has learned, and I've said this throughout the course of this season, I think Fred has learned that his way of doing things was not going to work in Lincoln. So what he did, instead of trying to shoehorn, and this is what the old coach of the football program didn't do, instead of shoehorning players into his scheme, he started developing a scheme that worked in the best to the best benefit of the players that he had. And that's why we have a Keisei Tominaga who had five straight 20-point games. I mean, the Japanese Steph Curry, they started to find their place. A few more things go right, maybe a few less injuries here and there at crucial moments, it might have been a completely different season. But this was, I think, Fred Hoiberg's first team at Nebraska,
right.
Not just a first collection of good ball players.
Yeah, and we do have to find some guys for next season. So, but that's ongoing. I mean, that's the uphill battle you find at Nebraska. I see we're 1890s The 1890-0 initiative guys have taken over where the basketball guys were, so maybe they'll be able to do some of this.
And as we speak,
Northwestern won their NCAA game against Boise State, and Penn State plays later tonight. And those are the two teams in the Big Ten I watch to see where they're at, because those are the two teams that traditionally have been really, really not very good. And historically, listen, nobody at Penn State pays attention to their basketball team. Nobody. Okay? And they've got a coach. I think if they keep their coach and he doesn't go someplace, you know, because Penn State doesn't care about basketball, we're roughly the same as them, where it's all about football and, oh, by the way, hey, we have a basketball team. Northwestern, nobody cares about anything there, but they kept Chris Collins around, and now he's won more games in the NCAA tourney this season than we have in our history. So I think that's just it. Just keep the guy around and see what we can do. And Tim Miles is back. He's back in the tourney, right, with San Jose State?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I love Tim Miles. I think everybody loved Tim Miles.
By the way, John, I didn't mean to interrupt you, and I do apologize. Was there anything else you want to say about Tim Miles?
No. You don't have to apologize for interrupting me. I do it to everybody else.
Well, no, but it's rude, and I try to be better. I'm not saying you're rude.
I am.
Anyway.
You should live here.
I visited.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. Let me just put it that way. Have you ever watched Letterkenny on Hulu?
A little bit. A little bit.
You know who you remind me of more than anybody else on that show?
The guy that's not supposed to fight anybody.
The hockey coach.
Okay, I'll go watch it.
Watch some of those locker room speeches. When he comes in, it's after a period, they're down 4-0 or something. He kicks the trash can and he yells, and it's You're a coach now. You make me happy.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So, Matt, we're going to get to your other question, and then we have a graphic to show. Matt says, have you guys heard? Dylan Raiola is visiting this month.
What? I have not heard that anywhere.
So.
What's he visiting?
Shit. All right, let's get to now John. You did a great job in putting together this next graphic. I'm so excited to share. No, he stole it, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's what I do.
This is the confirmed visits to Nebraska, updated visits in March and April via On3, and it's the class of 2024, unless otherwise noted. Now, because I'm old, I'm going to zoom in so that I can read these names. Nope, that's the other way. Why? That's so weird. It's going backwards. Okay. All right. So we have Dylan Raiola, Williams. Oh, great. Nwaneri.
Yeah.
Gatlin Bear, Grant Bricks, Isaiah McMorris, Thomas Heiberger, Gibson Pyle, Michael Boganowski, Ian Flint, Isaiah Mosey, Mario Buford. Yeah, you thought I was going to struggle with these. Screw you. I worked in actual radio. Zion Kearney or Carney. That's not guaranteed to be pronounced like our great
town. Well, it is if he comes here.
It better be. Nigel Smith II, Carter Nelson, Kawan Lacey, and Roger Gradney, who is already committed. And so that's all. I mean, you look at the range of offers and looks that some of these other players are getting from Tennessee, Oklahoma, Purdue. I mean, just Dylan himself, obviously Nebraska, Georgia, South Carolina, no, Southern Cal, and Oregon. You have Oregon in there a few times, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Penn State for Grant Bricks, who's, you know, those are all getting him just to keep him out, away from, you know, out of other Big Ten teams would be important. You have more of a regional one with Isaiah McMorris. You know, there's obviously, you know, getting the win over Iowa, but also Kansas and Kansas State. Wisconsin's in there for Thomas Heiberger. You know, Gibson Pyle, SMU, Houston, Duke. You know, it's a good, all right, Carter Nelson, you know, has an Alabama offer. Nigel Smith has Ohio State, A&M, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. I mean, it's a good cross-section of college football that Nebraska is in there. And John, I got to think, correct me if I'm wrong, if it's not Matt Rhule, I don't think any of these players are necessarily looking at Lincoln.
Well, I don't think anybody let's say that we would have hired a different coach and not compare this to that coach we got rid of.
Okay.
I just think that Matt Rhule at this point is so organized and has everything. I mean, he has a giant freaking corporate staff, for God's sakes. I want to say he should be organized, but other people should be organized too.
Did you see the
he's
article?
Done
in the,
it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you see the article in The Athletic where he's shifting and maybe not prioritizing, but is at least looking and paying attention to Texas once again?
Yeah. Well, that's where he has roots and he has connections.
Absolutely.
I mean, it makes sense.
Fred says, I hear Dylan slayed 6 Buffalo, 5 Trojans, and 7 dogs on his way to Lincoln just with fire from his arse.
I think that this is I think Go Big Red Cast on Twitter put that out and said, has there ever been a bigger recruiting weekend ever in Nebraska? And I don't think there has, except that I did respond Pearl Harbor. After Pearl Harbor, there was probably a huge recruiting weekend in Nebraska. Just saying, but that was the correct answer.
Wow.
But it is pretty amazing, all the recruits. He has, what, 4 or 5 stars there, including Rayola. He has a whole crap load of 4 stars coming in. I mean, wow, that's pretty impressive.
And now, again, for a team that finished 4-8 last year, you know, I mean, it's he has the football program poised in far better position than any 4-8 relatively non-competing team should be, and that's the, you know, the I don't want to call it like the Rhule effect, but you know, that's the benefit of having a coach who had success at the collegiate level, just came off of the NFL with, you know, mixed results, obviously, but we're not, I mean, NFL and college are two completely different animals. You almost wonder why, you know, coaches jump from one league to the other. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, just because it's two different sets of duties and responsibilities. But he, you know, just the fact that he has, you know, he and his staff collectively, it's certainly, you know, not just Coach Rhule, but he has so many exceptionally talented players looking at and considering Lincoln. And then, you know, there's the, I think we talked about before, maybe it was discussed on last week's Monday Night Therapy, couldn't get one this week. But you know, there's that Dylan Rayola effect. You know, all these guys talk to one another. You know, they right. all, you know, either in social media or they, you know, probably have each other's, you know, phone numbers, and they just text, group text, whatever. If one domino starts to fall, you got to think that a lot of these, you know, are going to, you know, work out as well. So, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we hope, no, it's all right. We hope this is a wildly successful recruiting weekend or series of weekends. You know, just the pieces continue to fall into place for Matt Rhule and company.
One of the things I was going to bring up with Todd on Monday night, because I'm sure he's been through this, because he was a coach and he's been an administrator and he's done all that stuff in his life. But through winter conditioning, we watched videos of Nebraska's players basically kind of playing games, you know, horsing around, doing stuff. And a lot of those things are team building exercises. And I wanted to, you know, what I wanted to say is this. We've already seen a lot of evidence. I personally think that those things don't necessarily build culture, in air quotes, but they do build togetherness. They do bring people together, or you start figuring out whether you like the people you're around or you don't like the people you're around really quick. And that's kind of important to success, as whether or not the maturity of the people around you can handle, yes, I can work with people I don't like. How about that? That's different. And then there's a lot of people that go, I'm not working with these people. I don't like them. And I think those are the keys to those team building exercises. But how long did we hear from the other guy about it was going to take years to build culture?
Sure.
Years!
And I remember, and I don't dislike it even now, but do you remember the kind of overly produced videos like when Damian Jackson was here, you know, the Navy SEAL, and how, you know, they had the videos of the team getting up and you know, in the middle of the night or early morning hours and throwing the boat on their shoulders and running out in the water and paddling. I'm like, those are fine. You know, and credit to the multimedia department to put those together. But I think equally as team building, as juvenile as it may seem, is when they got out on the snowfield, snow-covered Memorial Stadium field, you know, a couple weeks back, and just pushed the sleds around, you know, and it's a completely different presentation, but it, I think, achieves the same. I do. I think it achieves the same goal. And then they had what, the hockey, you know, going up to, right, to Omaha and getting on the ice rink. You know, it's, I don't, let's not force, this is going to sound weird, let's not force or show a forced version of unity and togetherness. And Damian Jackson's one of my, you know, what a story that guy has, you know. But, you know, he's like, I never played football before, and why not try Lincoln, you know, why not try Nebraska, and to, you know, again, was never going to see a ton of important playing time, but his story, you know, he was a leader, at least, you know, in my opinion. But at the same time, it's going to take more than, oh, this is going to sound so bad, empty platitudes, you know, to build up a, I want to say the word, culture of success. It is. And right. You know, that, so that's why, you know, just getting the guys out and letting them run around in the snow, again, as juvenile and childish as it was, that's bonding, you know, and it's not forced. It's, hey, let's go outside. I don't know. Am I on point? Am I not on point? John, talk me out of this.
I Owen Walker says that it seems like Nebraska always wins the off season, but haven't delivered in the fall, but this does look promising. And I agree with that. This is why I try not to drink the Kool-Aid until August. You know, it is, what is it? It's March. It's the middle of March. Right now, your attitude as a Nebraska fan should be, we're somewhere next year in the 6-6 or 7-5 range. After the spring game, you can go, okay, maybe we're in the 9-3 range. And then by August, if you're a real Nebraska fan, you should have us going 10-2. And if you're a completely delusional or rational human being, you have us going 12-0.
12-0.
That's how the Kool-Aid should work. So you try to, I try to stave it off. I try to hold off on, you know.
Hey, John. John, you know what's the best feeling in the world?
What?
Thinking your team's going to go 12-0 from the first week of December to the first week of September.
Okay.
12-0.
Okay. 12-0. You have the taxi driver thing going, huh?
Wait. Let's see.
You talking to me? Okay.
All right, John, we're nearing the 55-minute mark.
Oh, God. Silas Allred beat defending national champ Max Deem for the second time in a row. So Silas Allred, wrestling, our freshman, has beat a Penn State guy, and that's good. That's good. So screw you, Bill. How about that? Screw you, yeah. And your Penn State wrestling is probably going to win the Big Ten title anyway.
I don't know who's Bill. Who are you talking? Oh, that must be somebody you work with.
Yeah, it's somebody I work with.
Gotcha.
The Penn State guy.
How is it that Todd can post that in the Slack chat and ignore my message to him about coming and jumping up with us?
He's a slacker.
Ha! All right. So Blaine's got some back-to-backs we're going to hit. Blaine says you start with small sips of Kool-Aid so you can develop a tolerance for it. In that case, I must have been drinking it. So I haven't jumped on the Kool-Aid. We're not going to rehash, but I jumped on the Kool-Aid late, right? But it's 12-0. It's playoff or bust.
Okay.
That's me. And Fred Blaine, says,
Blaine, I was never good at small sips of anything, so.
So Fred says he forgot he's having a Leatherhead Red from Thunderhead Brewing tonight. I am drinking a Smittick. It's almost gone. I take it back. It is gone. And he thinks that John is drinking jaundiced Kool-Aid.
Actually, what I do is I take Ricolas. I take Ricolas cough drops.
Do you melt them down?
I dissolve them in water.
All right. That's disgusting.
This is where I'm at now, man.
All right. Blaine says, what does Nebraska have to offer outside of athletics to offer recruits?
Chicks that can beat the shit out of you. Huh?
A top five volleyball program.
Well, by God, if I was a young man, I'd be looking at a place where I could go and there'd be great women. And Nebraska has great women, great athletic women. And they're beautiful and they're strong as hell and they can kick your ass at any moment. I respect the hell out of that. And that's actually a serious answer.
I know.
But for even a more serious answer, Blaine, what I would say is Nebraska runs an incredibly good athletic department. I think their organization, even though it got kind of screwed up in the past few years, over the years has been a very well-run department and very well done.
Thanks, Fred. Fred's got my back. I'm going to hold on to that for a minute.
Okay. I think they also offer the fact that they're going to have tutors available and they're strong on the academic side. We don't talk about all Americans as much as we used to, but you know, I think that kind of stuff is important to the parents of a recruit. And now you have nil, and I think we're going to compete well there. But I think Nebraska has a place to go. What?
He says outside of athletics.
Right. Tutoring is outside of athletics.
Okay. Nil?
Does he mean like – I think if you look at the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, and I haven't – listen, when I go back, I don't get the chance to go downtown, and I don't get the chance to go out. I would love to spend a few days there. I'd say that the thing that I miss most about Lincoln, Nebraska is the Zoo Bar. And I would love to go back there and just spend a few days and go see some acts at the Zoo Bar because I loved going to the zoo when I was in I was going to say in the hospital. In college.
How do you spell Zoo Bar?
The Zoo Bar. You've never heard of the Zoo Bar?
I don't think so.
The Zoo Bar is probably one of the best-known blues bars in the Midwest, I would guess.
Okay. So, true story.
As entertainers go, I think that they've had they're going to have a Zoo Bar Fest for 3 days this July, and it's I think their 50th anniversary or something. I can't remember.
But
I haven't been there in a long time, and I miss that place. You know, Matt Hansen says Lincoln's Haymarket area is really fun. I think for a small college town, Lincoln is a really great place to be. People that live there bitch about it, but
I think everybody bitches about where they're, you know, right. They're from. I don't want to in any way insinuate that the club that I was at was the Zoo Bar. I don't know if it was or not. But years back when I was living in Nebraska, well before I met my wife, I was dating a girl from Nebraska, and I drove across the state to visit her, and she's like, oh, hey, we're going to go to Lincoln and watch my cousin play at this club or something. And I was not having it because I just drove across. Anybody who's driven from Shadron to Lincoln knows it's not a fun day. And so I was real like, why'd you spring this on me? If I would have arrived tomorrow, I didn't want to go. And then I fell asleep in the club. It was not my best night. So, but I don't think it was the Zoo Bar. I don't think it's impossible to fall asleep in the legendary Zoo Bar in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, if you don't like the blues, but they've had some amazing acts in there. They're not. world famous acts. They're blues acts, you know, Charlie Musselwhite, Magic Slim, and the Teardrops, people that I remember being there. Jay McShane.
John, what'd you have for dinner last night?
Etta James. There was this one really big black woman that could stand up and sing.
Whoa.
With a mic. The mic would be like 8 feet away from her, and she could still knock the windows out of the place. I mean, just some of the most amazing blues artists that the world's ever seen have played at the Blues at the Zoo Bar. My God, you people should go there.
Okay, John, you have sold me a ticket that you're going to have to buy.
Okay.
All right.
Yes?
We're talking about you and the Kool-Aid, and Blaine says, don't start your own commune and call it Johnstown.
Well, I might.
Somebody else said there's a town in Lincoln or in Nebraska called Johnstown. And Fred says, John dissolves cough drops and is also apparently a serial killer.
Well, you know, you gotta do something.
This night started with me popping up on the camera and you say, Greg, did you join a cult? Because I gave myself a haircut.
To call that a haircut is there should have been a line there.
It is I don't know. It is a one guard on my clippers. It's just short. You know what it is? It's a vast reduction in the amount of shampoo I use.
You know what? Chris Rock would have made a joke about your head and Will Smith would have punched him in the face again. That's what that looks like.
I don't think Will Smith cares about my hair.
Well, maybe let's move on.
John, can I surprise you at your house with my clippers and buzz your head?
No.
I don't even know if I like the way that came out. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let me take a quick look at my notes here. Team workouts. Does this... Oh, we talked about that. Wrestling, no. Baseball. I think we've covered it all.
Have we?
Why not? It's been an hour. I have so much laundry to do before we leave Saturday morning, so might as well.
And you're
call
going
it
to Disney World.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And we're driving.
You know, when my kids were young, I don't remember a lot of my vacations because, you know, those were the memories I lost when I died for a while. But most of the ones I remember is us being in the middle of nowhere. They were the funnest. Yeah. Like going to camping or going out into the middle of nowhere and just but I did go with my family to Disney World once in California. I think it cost like $1,500 to get in. I had a great time doing it. I don't think I'd do it again just because it's just too much. I had liked the roller coasters. I got on the roll. You know, they say don't get on this if you have a heart problem. I was like, fuck that shit. I'm getting on this, you little pansy ass sons of bitches.
So
got on there. Did better than my kids did on the roller coasters. I can tell you that.
Full disclosure, and I'm not... This is a reward, I suppose, for being good at my job. I qualified for the incentive trip. So really, all you know, me and my wife are free. My twins are free because they're too young. I'm paying $800 for my oldest boy to go to Disney World for 3 days.
That's not bad.
So all I got to do is survive getting there and back.
You know, Fred Sacco with this robe and matching Nikes.
You're thinking about it, right?
I'm thinking about putting together a coronation robe.
Oh. John, yeah. I don't want a coronation robe. I want a robe just like yours so that we can match when we record.
That's kind of terrifying.
Let's get matching robes, John. Okay. I'm going to buy two and I'm going to send you one.
Aren't we done?
I guess we're done, everybody.
Owen Walker says worlds of fun.
That's Kansas City, correct?
Yeah.
I've never been. I drove past it.
I don't think I ever went there. I did. I did Six Flags quite a bit in Texas. In
Six
Dallas.
Flags is good.
I've gone to that several times.
Six Flags St. Louis.
I will tell you this. There's a Six Flags in New Orleans, and it's terrifying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's abandoned. At least when I was there last, it was abandoned after Katrina.
Yes, I remember that.
And we went over there and kind of went around it. I don't think we were supposed to, but I mean, it was by like being in a creepy, horrible, real-life post-apocalyptic movie. It was just freaky.
The crazy thing about Six Flags New Orleans is it was only open for 5 years. It only opened in 2000 and closed in August of 2005.
Yeah.
And just looking at the pictures, I mean, the whole damn thing was underwater. I'll tell you one of my, oddly enough, if you're ever in southern Indiana, you got to go to Santa Claus, Indiana. You got to go to Holiday World. Some of the best roller coasters. One of my favorite, I think my favorite wooden roller coaster on the planet is at Holiday World. And I highly encourage everybody to go it sometime. It's worth the drive. It's a super fun place. And they have free parking, and they have free Pepsi products all day long.
Wow.
If you like free pop. Matt says he can't get the Ricola commercial out of his head now, and he thanks you for that.
Yeah. That's and, what I'm here for. Mess it up your lives.
Earworms. Husker Sports and Earworms. That's the Five Heart Podcast pledge. And, last one. Last one here from Fred. Matching robes, smoking pipes, saying tut, 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 bemoaning the demise of the wing tee. I like it.
I like it, yeah.
All right. That's a good idea.
You know, I will say that the thing about with Monday is it really screwed up my kind of week and my attention, and I wanted to get the next video, the next history video out, and I haven't done that on YouTube, but it'll cover 1895 to 1904.
Oh, wow.
And it should be interesting if I can do it right. How about that?
Of course it'll be interesting, John.
I'll say tut, tut, tut.
Tut, tut, tut. All right. Well, that will do it, I think, for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. A reminder, per John's orders, there will not be a Five Heart Podcast next week. So we will see you in 2 weeks when the calendars change to, I guess they'll technically still be March. Never mind. But we'll see. Yes.
I forget it. I can't bring it up now.
Okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks. So thank you, everybody, for joining us here live and being a part of this excellent experience that we have. We truly enjoy the time together. For the man upstairs and for John Johnston, I'm Greg Mahochko. This is the Five Heart Podcast, where we remind you each and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Spaceman John?
Go Big Red!
And good night.